go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
And, Ben, we got something kind of cool today, I think. We've got a, well, we always have something cool. But we're gonna talk about 10 places to look for classic car parts.
Yes, and this comes in handy for a lot of people, perhaps more people than you would suspect, because you never know, Scott, you can attest to this, you never know who has a classic car in their garage.
True. And some of these tips, you'll find that, you know, most of these, if someone's already tuning out saying, I'm not going to be looking for classic car parts, it's not my thing.
Right.
Hold on to that car long enough and maybe you will be looking for classic car parts.
And also,
that's a stretch. Maybe not. But you know what? Some of these tips are also good for just someone looking for car parts for, a 3 or 4 year old vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
That would also work. So
that's a good point.
So pay attention. You know, there's some stuff to be learned here as well.
We're gonna kick it off. May I?
Yeah, sure. We'll just go right down the list. There's 10 of them here, and we've got. I think we got a little something to say about each one.
Yes, sir. So. Number 10, coming in low and slow at number 10, is the idea of going to a swap meet, which is pretty big.
I like this idea. I like. Have you ever been to a swap meet?
Yes.
Easy for me to say. I've been to some swap meets that are enormous, like at state fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. Major events. There are hundreds of dealers there. What was the size of the event that you were at? Was it similar?
Well, the swap meets I've been to have been both in Tennessee and Georgia, and the size has varied from perhaps maybe typical small weekend flea market crowd, you know, or what they would call, I guess, a boot sale in the UK, to just large venues that are completely packed with people. One thing we want to say about swap meets are that swap meets can be kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah, it's true. It's hit or miss on this type of thing. And, you know, I'd say more times than not, though, you're gonna hit on this one. There's going to be something there that you want or need if you have a specific project in mind. There's going to be someone there to talk to. But the thing is, you've got to network with the people that are there.
Yes.
You've got to talk to the dealers. You've got to talk to the people that are there. Mm-hmm. If you see somebody carrying a part that's similar to what you want or something from the same vehicle that you have, talk to them and find out where they got that, because chances are they'll lead you right to the source where – you know, the treasure chest would be for you.
Yeah, weirdly enough, it's weird how often this works out. They'll probably know a guy, and if they don't know a guy, they'll know a guy who knows a guy.
Exactly. Even if the person is not there at the swap meet, which I would think would be rare, because really at these things, everybody comes out that has something to sell or, you know, some type of advice to give, or, you know, they've got just a lot of the crowd themselves are a fount of knowledge for you, really. I mean, if you talk to some people that are there kind of milling around parts with you, this is a great source.
And if that doesn't work out, what's the next step?
Number nine is brick and mortar stores. Now this is going back kind of old school, I guess. That you know, you go to the parts counter.
Yep.
You ask them, you know, tell them to make a model vehicle. They come back with a part in their hand, and that's it. Not bad. I actually kind of like this type of thing. I'm not one to deal online very well or over the phone very well. I like to go in, see the part, hold the part, think about the part, come back, buy the part.
You're old school, though.
I do. I take a long time. I'd go pay my bills in person if I could, Ben. And in fact, I have in the past. I get a lot of teasing about stuff like that because I'm not one to search online and buy online and not one to just call and order a part, have it shipped in the mail. I'm just not that way. I really do like the brick-and-mortar stores. The problem is if you're talking about classic car parts,
right?
Not a lot of brick-and-mortar stores for classic car parts. They're few and far between, but the ones that you do find are very, very good. There's one that's about an hour away from here in Atlanta, up in Braselton, that's excellent for used car parts. And I've been there. I've also, I watched the store online. There's a lot going on with that place, and I know that there are places like that all over the U.S. and all over the world, really.
I have three things to say about these, about this number that are all short, so no worries there.
Mm-hmm.
First, although some people may agree with you, Scott, some people may hate calling on the phone, it's a very good idea in this day and age to call ahead if you're going into a store. And I think we mentioned this in the article, to give them the information and see if they have it, because oftentimes the brick-and-mortar stores won't have the ability to just maintain a stock of, you know, a specific part.
True.
And then the second thing is there's an unspoken rule, which we also mentioned in the article, which I think is very good, mm-hmm. which is if you are pressing the shop owner, the shopkeep, I never get to use that word, the shopkeep for advice,
sure.
then don't just ask him for advice, grill the guy, and then disappear onto Amazon.
Yeah.
That's kind of rude.
Yeah. You know, I'm semi-guilty of this in that I've asked some advice before, but I always ask them first, like, you mind giving me a little bit of advice on something? And they say either, yeah, that's fine. I've got a minute or two here. So they don't really mind talking with you, but you kind of have to go about it gingerly. Don't really pick their brain and then just walk out without making a purchase. It's not very good etiquette.
Yeah. And of course, this can vary case by case. We're not calling anyone a villain. My third point about number nine is that I think personally it's very important to support these sorts of locations when it's possible. Mm-hmm. Now, the death of brick and mortar stores has been widely reported and exaggerated because, as we know, a lot of the small shops, even the stereotypical mom and pop shops, are able to survive doing business online, selling wares online. But, and this is just a personal note, it means a lot to me to support those sorts of stores when I have a chance.
Agreed. I totally agree with you. So let's go. Let's move on to number eight then.
Ah, yes. www.onlineforums.com.
Yeah. I don't know. Is this now online forums? These are to me. You know, I just mentioned that I don't like to purchase things online.
Right.
However, I do like to get advice. Mm-hmm. From people that have gone through similar situations online. And I think this may be one of the best regions, I guess, for advice.
This is great, yeah.
Yeah, this is really good because, you know, no matter what, there's somebody that's already done what you're doing. You know, if you've got a problem,
so
an issue, a situation, whatever's going on, I need to worry about rust on the frame of my 1957 Chevy. How do I handle that? Somebody has dealt with that in the past. You know that there's 100 people online that have dealt with that in the past. And they know exactly what to do, what works, what doesn't work. That's the important thing is that, you know, they know what does not work. And rather than you go through all that trial and error, they have already done it. And, you know, it's good to listen to some of these people. You know, they've got good advice, you know, just kind of, I don't know, the sage advice of the elders, I guess, is what you can say, because, you know, even if it's somebody that's younger than you, they've handled it already, and they know that, you know, this product does not work, this one does work, this technique works, this one doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It saves you time and money.
And I completely agree. This is the place for some of the best free information, because it's true. We don't always mention this on the show, but it's completely true, and it's kind of wonderful that if you're restoring a car, the only other people who will ever understand the amount of blood, sweat, and tears that you put in there, not to mention time, they're going to be people who have already done it.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to use their expertise to help others.
I scour the online forums mm-hmm. all the time for information about, you know, chrome bumper polishing
mm-hmm.
or how to fix little tiny pits in the windshield or, mm-hmm. you know, what to do, what not to do to remove, you know, the oxidation on headlight lenses. You know, just a little bit of everything. There's anything and everything available out there. Just search, you know, your question. Put your question into Google and it'll come up with forums that have pages and pages of advice of people telling you what to do and what not to do.
And one thing that we do need to make clear, always be respectful on these forums. Remember that these people are volunteering their advice and their experience for free to you. So don't be crazy, you know. And I would also say that these people know their stuff. So if you were bragging, make sure – I'm not calling anyone a liar. I'm just saying make sure you were bragging about something that really happened.
Back it down a bit.
Yeah, because they can – they may not respond very well to people who are, you know, going to come in and be insulting or be dismissive. Just be humble, be nice, be direct.
Very good advice.
Okay, sorry.
All right, let's move on. Number seven, knockoff manufacturers. my notes here actually say meh. I don't know. This isn't something that I would do. I think. I mean, buy parts that are known to be not authentic. Now, in some cases, there's no choice.
Sometimes you have no choice but to take a newly manufactured part.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not really anything terribly wrong with this. It's just that, you know, for me personally, I would rather try to find the vintage part in somewhere that, you know, we'll talk about later in the list here.
Mm.
I'm sure everybody knows what that is. But, you know, I just don't know if this is a good idea to buy something that is, you know, brand new that goes on a vehicle that's 50 years old, 50 plus years old.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to do that? It may stand out as being subpar. It may just not have the same look. It may be slightly different in certain ways. But then again, you know, if they get the molds from the original factory, you know, I'm going to argue both sides of this here now at this point. They may get the original molds from the factory. They may get the original plans. They may actually build replica parts that are very, very good, if not better than the original.
Something Jay Leno has actually done.
Exactly, yeah. And you know what? We talked about DeLorean a few times on this
show.
And that's kind of what they're doing. They've got the original still, but they've got the molds and the plans to build original parts, but they're going to be brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. They've got all of the original documentation. They may even improve some parts. But the thing is, if you're going for authenticity, which a lot of times in a classic vehicle realm,
key.
Yeah, you have to have that. I mean, you just can't go get a muffler that was built. Well, okay, that's a bad example. Muffler is a bad example. But let's say a bumper.
Sure.
A chrome bumper. You're going to get a brand new chrome bumper versus one that you found in the junkyard, then had replated, and you know that there's something to that. There's something to having authentic original parts on your classic vehicle.
And here's the thing. Yeah, this is a really good point, because what I'm getting from what you're saying is that people should ask themselves what they want from this vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want it to be when you're done? Are you going to try to resell it? Because if you are, my friends, think very carefully about those new parts.
Yeah, exactly. You may not want to go to Pep Boys and buy the brand new, you know, the chrome alloy rims that look so cool on, you know, the 2010 models. Mm-hmm. You may want to get something that's, you know, more, I don't know, period correct, I guess, for your vehicle. You know, if not authentic, then something that, you know, is authentic and original. Get something that was from that time era that would also work.
Yes, I
something
see.
Something that also fits your needs. Weigh the pros and cons. I don't think I'm expressing myself well on this one, but I just don't think that it's a good idea to put brand new parts on classic cars.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are on the same page with that, too. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those people who are on the same page, speaking of pages, are reading number 6, Classic Car Magazines.
What a segue. Yeah, that's right. You know, and there's this thing, you know, about this is that I've used these in the past just for, you know, you kind of look at them because it's got the latest trends. It's got the latest,
sure.
You know, the what people are doing in the field.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
something that you know, they're doing with engine work, body work. You know, whether it's shaving the door handles, whether it's you know, I don't know, tubbing the back end, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, doesn't matter what the project is. The latest and greatest is always going to be in the car magazines, and that's the good source to go to for that.
And you can find a lot of really cool tips and rules of thumb.
Yeah.
That can save you some backbreaking hours.
Yeah, exactly. When it comes to how-to type stuff, you know that these guys have done it. So, you know, online, that's a great place to search for this stuff. You know, if you go to, you know, whatever your favorite magazine is, search how-to and then whatever your project is, chances are they've run into this already or they've done this project. And they've got a great, you know, photo essay along with detailed descriptions of what they're doing and how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's an excellent place to see what you can expect out of a project.
Now, let me stop you before we go to the next ones, the top five,
mm-hmm.
because I got to tell you, this is where it gets the stakes get a little higher for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to, in full disclosure for you and for our listeners, to let you know that there is I have a little disagreement with part of this list.
You do?
I have a little one. We'll get to it. But one of my favorites is this, number 5.
Okay. And number 5 is wrecking services and auto body shops.
Yes. Because this is sort of a little bit further up the line. Like part of what we're talking about is a line or a life cycle for a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
When a car is no longer used.
Sure.
And we begin to, cannibalize is a harsh word, but
mm-hmm.
we begin to take other parts off of it and stuff. A lot of times, if you know someone at an auto body shop and, you know, like you, Scott, know me and I work at an auto body shop and you give me a call a few months in the past and you say, hey, Ben, I was looking for part A or part X or part Y and I was wondering if you know anything about this, then I am, odds are, I'm going to be intimately connected with a number of people who don't just do body work, also do restoration, also, well, I don't want to spoil the rest of the things on the list, but you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
This is a handy way to do it.
Okay. I agree. I think this isn't bad. It's not a bad way to do it, but I mean, these places have, you know, it could be anything from just a couple of cars on a lot, you know, where they've towed them off the side of the road and they've got cars that have been basically abandoned, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
They've got, you know, vehicles that they've started to take some of the decent parts off of that are available. But, you know, whether it's a real small place or a large place, chances are you're right. They do know somebody that can help you out. So maybe this is a place to use as a source of information.
Right. As a source of information, one thing that is a little bit difficult about this part this listing is that their odds of having classic cars are going to be relatively low.
Very slim, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say it's very slim because you're talking about cars that have been actually pulled off the street or have been,
right,
you know, abandoned somewhere or impounded for whatever mm-hmm. reason. You know, they're not going to have, you know, the selection that our next number here will have.
Yes, this is one we both want to talk about. So let's just go straight to salvage yards.
This is perhaps my favorite out of all these, really. Yeah, the salvage yards, because, you know, this is, I mean, we call it a salvage yard, but it's a junkyard.
Right.
So heading out to the junkyard, you got your toolbox with you, you're mm-hmm. carrying it through there. You know, this, to me, I literally could spend days in junkyards.
Just at the local pull apart, huh?
Just wandering, finding what's out there. Even if it's not my vehicle, mm-hmm. I love just looking at these.
You can see some great stuff.
I have, and I've wandered through many, many junkyards, mm-hmm. and it's always, you know, ask my wife and kid. Every time we're in the car, my neck, you know, swivels every time we go past one that, you know, like, I wonder what's – not specifically what's in the front of the junkyard. I like to look at what's in the very back corner of the junkyard.
Oh, the old stuff.
Yeah,
huh?
The old stuff. Yeah, I like to see what's back there because sometimes there's some real diamonds in the rough back there.
Yeah, they at a Forest Park neighborhood junkyard south of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
One time we actually saw – I'm not going to say we saw the whole thing, but we saw pieces of a fire truck from the 1940s.
Oh, cool.
You know, and that's amazing. I don't know how it got there or what happened to it, but that's one of my favorite places in general, a salvage yard. If you're looking for a part that is just being a bear to find, then you know what, man? You may not find it at the salvage yard, but you're going to have fun.
I think there's a good chance that you will. And you know what? If you call ahead, this is important on these things.
I
really do think that if you call ahead, or at least if you stop by the trailer in the front and talk to the people that own the place and say, I'm looking for parts for a 1940 Chevrolet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any 1940 Chevrolets? There just may be a chance that they've got these things segmented out and that, you know, sure, you go back to the northwest corner, and that's where you're going to find the Chevrolets. And, of course, if you want the 1940s, we've got those broken out into a different section over here.
That does happen.
It does happen. It's not all that common,
right,
but it does happen. Or they may just say, you know what, we don't have any Chevrolet parts in the lot. We have only Ford and Chrysler.
Which is why it's important to call.
Exactly, because you may spend all day wandering around looking for that Chevrolet part when they don't even have a single Chevrolet in the lot because the person doesn't know that vehicle, doesn't deal with that vehicle. Mm. So, you know, just give it a call ahead or even talk to somebody and find out what they've got on the lot in general and then specifically go in for the part. But once you do, I mean, man, Ben, you could find anything. I've gone through parts in, like, northern Michigan or junkyards in northern Michigan where you'll find, old Mustangs that have all of the logos on them. You know, all the badging, all the trim work, everything. So that, you know, if you needed something for your 1967 Mustang,
okay,
and you needed all the badging, go there and you could take it all off of one vehicle and it's all right there. Or if you have a VW microbus and you need, you know, that great big VW logo on the front, you know, now chances are that's probably already gone, but you know, you go and you look at that and you find that and it's there. You know, there'll be amazing parts that you'll find there. You'll be surprised what you can find.
Oh, and one pro tip for our internet savvy friends here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a website called oldride.com, which lists more than 50 salvage yards in the United States that specialize in classic car parts.
Yeah, exactly. And that's important that they specialize in classic car parts because a lot of the junkyards are filling up with some of these newer vehicles. And you'll find that, you know, there's nothing in there, you know, older than, let's say, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't do somebody any good who's looking for, you know, a 1930s Cadillac part.
So let's say that you don't really find what you need somehow in online forums. You need to take the next step, and that next step would be number three.
Yep, clubs and organizations. And you can reach these guys online, but more often than not, if you've got a classic car that you know, you've got great interest in restoring, you're probably going to seek these guys out already and be involved in the club. But they do have, you know, weekly meetings, monthly meetings, whatever it happens to be, quarterly meetings.
Rides.
Exactly.
Trips.
Yeah, ride and drive events. And I think, you know, whether it's charity, whatever, these are incredible sources of information. Like, you know, going to the swap meet, only more specialized. These are the people that are so they're laser focused on your make and model of vehicle.
Yeah.
And again, you know, this goes right along with the forums. These are the people that you'll talk to in the forums also. So this is a fantastic source, Ben, of information. You know, you can talk to the people that know people that know people that have parts or can get something to you, or they just have an extra one lane in the garage that they'll give you.
Yeah, and what's cool is they'll also ask you questions. This is very much a two-way street.
Yeah.
So let's say you're in let's stick with VW. So let's say you're in a VW club, and then you have a VW, you've spent a lot of time on, you've restored it, you just need maybe a couple things. And you'll ask around, and then you'll notice that how much this is a two-way street. They'll start asking you questions, and they'll be very specific. They'll say, well, I noticed that on your vehicle, blah, 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 where did you find, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's so cool.
It is, because I've mentioned, like, my project to somebody in the past, you know, and you get kind of a blank stare, like, okay, well, this is really interesting for me. You know, you talk to somebody that's in a car club that, you know, has your make and model vehicle and, you know, they're interested as well. They're just as excited to talk with you about your project as you are to talk with them about their project or what your needs and wants are for your vehicle. And it's a good environment. You know, it's nice that, you know, people can come together in groups like this and talk about stuff, you know, common interests.
And I'm going to make this point, I don't think it'll be controversial, but just in case it is, address the hate mail to me and not to Scott. I think it's so important to have this in real life experience, because while the online areas are great for advice, while the online areas are great for learning, they just don't hold a candle to the experience of being around other cars and other people who are experts. Let's be honest, they're experts in what you're trying to do. So I think that clubs and organizations should be a bit higher on the list.
And, face-to-face meetings.
Yeah, and that's not my main objection.
Yeah, you know what, I agree with you. So go ahead and address the hate mail to both of us, because I agree with Ben that, you know, there's something about meeting someone face-to-face and talking with them. It's more than just a text conversation back and forth, you know, via email or, you know, on your cell phone.
Well, there's some, like, engine tuning tricks that you just have to learn by being next to someone who already knows how to do it.
Exactly, and they can just show you right on their own vehicle. You know, it's over here in the corner of the lot. Let's go look at it. So, you know, the last two here, we've got two left, and they're very, very similar.
This is my main objection.
Okay, you know, these last two to me, I have to say I disagree with the list. I don't think they should have been number two and number one.
Oh, you're stealing my argument. Okay, but still, nonetheless, I'm just going to read two, then one really quickly, just what they are, and then we can talk about why we're not on the same page.
Okay.
So number two is online dealers. Number one, could we get a drum roll, please? Scott, people don't know how good you are at percussion. Number one is online auctions, and I disagree.
Okay.
So the reason that I disagree, maybe more with the order of these top two, is that in an online auction, unless you have very specific interest, you know exactly what you're doing, and you've exhausted every other option, an online auction is usually, I think, not going to be as smart of a choice as most of the other things on this list.
I totally agree. And, you know, I've got my own set of reasons why I don't agree with online auctions. Online dealers, not bad. Not bad. I mean, you can go to, you know, some of these brick and mortar places that we talked about that I love.
Yeah.
They have online sites, and I trust them. So I know that that's a place where I can go to get good parts, and I know that it's what they say.
And there's some superb online dealers.
There really are. You know, and the fact is that, you know, that's the easiest, quickest way to find a part and have it sent to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do it within a matter of minutes. I could have any part that I want in a matter of 5 minutes if I wanted to.
Sure.
That's the thing. They're extremely fast. However, they can be expensive. Mm-hmm. And the expense mm-hmm. part is where I think the, I think I'm actually done with that, the online dealers part. But, mm-hmm. you know, the expense part going on to online auctions is, you know, that's where you kind of, you get to name your own price, sort of. you know how that works out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a buy it now price on, you know, certain sites on eBay.
Right.
And there's also, you know, if you get involved in a bidding war with somebody, you may end up paying more than you had intended to pay.
Sure.
But you may also get quite a deal. And I think a lot of the parts now, it seems like most of them are just, here's the price, buy it.
That seems
to me the way that a lot of these things are working out now. There's a ton of parts available, which is the great thing.
Yes.
But here's the, you know, word of caution. These people are, you know, if they're picking them up from junkyards, or they are a junkyard that operates this site,
right.
The online auction site, you know, they have thousands of items that are up for sale on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
They take a photo of a part that exemplifies what they've got, you know, they're available.
Ah, yes, but let the buyer beware.
Ah, see, I think you've got something here. So go ahead. What do you mean?
Okay, so you know how in food commercials, right? Everybody who's taken a picture of a fast food hamburger.
I love
right?
where this is going.
Yeah, and then has actually gone and purchased a fast food hamburger and compared them side by side. The differences are, to say the least, hilarious.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the same thing can easily occur in online auctions, especially if, I love the junkyard example, especially if, for instance, Scott Benjamin's junkyard is selling very hard to find
Chrysler parts.
Very hard to find Chrysler parts. And, you know, let's say there are 50 that the junkyard has in stock. There's a picture of one.
Yeah, I have 50 headlights available.
Yeah, and there's a picture of one, and that one headlight looks great. There's no the opacity's not messed up. There's no cracks.
Yeah, I cleaned it up for the photo.
Cleaned it up for the photo. Maybe did a little magic on it. I'm not saying Photoshop, but gave it some TLC. So then somebody else orders this headlight, says, oh, what a great vintage Chrysler headlight. This is just what I need. I've been looking for 6 months.
Yeah, grab one off the shelf. I'm going to ship that one.
But is it the same one?
It may not be the one that's in the photo, and that's the thing. It may or may not. And you know what? If the person has only one available,
yeah.
and that's the part, then that's what you get, of course. And,
yeah,
you know,
you're
I
golden.
Mean, again, you're looking at a part in a photograph that's, you know, a postage stamp size photograph online.
Yeah.
Is it what you're getting? This is the typical online auction pitfalls, I guess, that you have to deal
right.
with. You know, there's several. It's, you know, are you getting exactly what you ordered, first mm-hmm. of all? Are they gonna ship it on time? Is it going to, is it gonna be damaged during shipping?
Right.
Is it going to arrive at all?
That
happens. I mean, I'm not to say that, you know, these online auction sites are bad. I'm just saying
right.
that you have to trust the dealer. You have to trust whoever is selling you that part. And, you know, you're giving them money
mm-hmm.
and, well, I guess in a way personal information, but not really. I mean, some of these are very secure,
yeah.
but
yeah.
you're giving them money. And you're expecting something in return that, you know, was represented online as being a perfect part, maybe. You know, maybe right. you do know the flaws in it. But, again, a photograph is going to show you everything.
We're just saying be careful, guys. We don't want you to blow, you know, several hundred dollars. Some of these parts, especially the really old ones that are original, can mm-hmm. be fairly expensive. So
yeah.
we don't want you to blow hundreds of dollars for a pig and a poke, and then find out that you did not get what you wanted and that you can't get.
Yeah, let's say you're buying a
refund,
a body panel or a door or something huge like
yeah,
that.
Good
you're
point.
You're gonna pay a lot of money in shipping to find
mm-hmm.
out that, you know, this thing's got a few more car door dings in it than you had intended or you had thought, rather, when you saw the initial photograph.
Maybe the inside's rusted.
Yeah, maybe. You
something's
know,
wrong with the hinge.
The window doesn't work. Or,
the
you know,
window doesn't work.
I mean, just a lot of little things, and I don't want to discourage anybody from this, but this kind of goes back to, and I told you this early on, so
mm-hmm.
I've been up front with this, you about this. I like to go in and see and hold the part.
Yeah.
I like to examine the part. I like to mm-hmm. talk to the people that are selling the part. I just don't think that online auctions are the way for me specifically, but I think for some people,
mm-hmm.
this is how they do all of the project. And you know, it works out well for them.
Yeah, and to be fair, because we've mentioned I just want to close with this. To be fair, because we've mentioned a lot of the brick-and-mortar stores have this online presence or they do an online auction account. Mm-hmm. Your best bet, if you're on a large online auction site, I'm not going to drop any names, but maybe some sort of bay, then while you're
an electronic bay,
yeah, of some sort. Mm-hmm. Sure, thank you. While you're in that area, the best thing to do is research the seller. What's their feedback rate? How often have they done this? Because that is the closest you're going to get to being able to trust them.
Yeah, just the usual words of precaution on this stuff.
Yeah.
Again, there's a lot of good people out there too. So you know, don't let us sway you one way or the other.
I got burned one time buying an accordion on eBay.
You bought an accordion on eBay?
I did.
What happened?
Well, it arrived. I got an okay price on it.
Mm-hmm.
The reeds inside, some of the reeds were messed up. So on the lower notes of this accordion, it sounds melodious. It sounds really nice. And then about two-thirds of the way up, it sounds like some sort of dying baby. I don't know if it's a human baby. Maybe there's a cat stuck in
there. Yeah. Do you play in a polka band or something? I don't know this about you. I didn't know that you played accordion.
Well, I play two-thirds of an accordion and a third of some sort of possibly screaming cat.
That's very funny. That's good.
But, yeah, so take it from me. That's bitter experience. Be careful and ask questions. And let us know what you found with your classic car parts. That's what I want to hear because – Scott, some people may not know that this is a research with an ulterior motive for you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've talked a couple of times about your project car. Mm-hmm. And has it been difficult for you to find parts?
You know what? I haven't searched out a lot of different parts yet. I've kind of been looking, mm-hmm. but not really purchasing yet. I've got a lot of prices listed out. And, you know, I told you I'm fastidious about, you know.
Yeah.
Getting the best price and being able to look at the part and see the part and trust the people that I'm buying from. So, I've compiled a huge list of parts that I need and want. And I've got a couple things that I've already purchased from that shop that's up in Braselton.
Mm-hmm.
It's year one, if anybody really cares. I mean, it's not a paid advertisement or anything, but year one, they have excellent stuff. And, I don't know. I'm learning as I go, and I mm-hmm. find that forums are great. I find that, you know, just talking to people at, you know, junkyards and mm-hmm. places that, you know, have classic cars on the lot are the best sources. You know, people that do restoration work, people that, you know, do body work, things like that. I don't know. I'm finding that it's good to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably the best way to come at this.
And you don't have reservations about that. If you see somebody with an interesting car and they're standing on the street, I know you will walk up and talk to them.
Yeah, I'll do a U-turn and come back and talk to them about it because that's really the only way to learn about something like that. Otherwise, it's like, oh, yeah, I saw a 1935 Ford, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. and I don't know anything more about it than that, but I saw it on the side of the road. But if you pull over and you talk to the person, and generally, you know, the people are willing to talk about it. They love it. It's their project, their hobby, their passion. You know, just spend 5 minutes, be courteous, and ask them a little bit about it. They love it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair to say. And we have to get out of here, but we hope that we've given some tips, a couple of do's and don'ts. And I know this was filled with our opinion, but we're talking about the best places to find classic car parts. We want to hear from you, especially if you're restoring a classic car. We've got a lot of listeners doing that, Scott. So as always, send us some pictures and send us a Facebook message, or you can tweet at us, as we are now Twitter people. What would we be, Twits?
I think we are.
Oh, is that we're Twits who tweet? Oh man! But if you want to skip past all that and you want to just write to us directly, we'd love to hear from you at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.